Okay. I already introduced myself. No, I didn't. Did I introduce myself? Kind of. Yeah, you know my stuff. Oh, but they hear all my stuff. Oh, they've heard it before. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by Jesus. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food, work, and control. I've had issues with porn, alcohol, rage, panic attacks, and bouts with depression. So that's me. There were several things that happened Friday night. I really, really enjoyed the concert. It was just so cool. Super good music. Super good vibe. It was a really good thing. But it put me in a place where I can't help it, y'all. I just can't help it. It put me in a place where I sat and watched Christendom, American Christendom, do its thing. And there were Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Catholics, you name it. I mean, it was just a smattering of everybody. Nobody wore a label, but you knew in a house that size, there was just a smattering of everybody. And it gave me a look, and I thought, my version of this kicked me out about 16 years ago. My version of this divorced me after 25 years of service, faithful service, and after growing up as a child in this, my version of this kicked me out. And there were various reasons, and I think I've told you that before. One was that I was hanging out with people who dealt drugs and made moonshine and talked dirty, and we rode horses all the time together, and they were my friends, and they didn't like that. My people didn't like that. And we also had younger people in the congregation who had come in my tenure there, 16 years at that one church. And it was time for them to start taking the reins of leadership. And when I tried to make those moves and introduce them into positions of leadership, the old guard was like, no, that ain't happening. And so various things happened, and we were subtly, but not so subtly, issued our divorce papers. And after all that time serving God, I thought, F this. Seriously. I mean, I was like, I had some serious talks with God. I said, I'm done with religion. I'm done with Christianity. I'm done with the Bible. I'm done with prayer. I'm done with all of it. I've had it. If this is what I get after all these years, I mean, I went to school. I went to college and seminary. I jumped through all their ordination hoops to become an ordained deacon, become an ordained elder, jumped through all the hoops that I was supposed to, and never had a single blemish on my record, nothing bad on my record. And they treated me that way. And then the higher-ups, they didn't say this, but basically it was like, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out, you know? So I was mad. I was angry. And so if the church was going to divorce, I'm putting this in air quotes, if the Church of Jesus Christ was going to divorce me, I was going to divorce Jesus Christ. So flipped him off, cussed him out, blah, blah, blah. So we moved to Bowling Green. We packed up all our stuff and put them in a storage unit out on Russellville Road. I mean, it was packed three high. It ruined some of our furniture on the bottom. It wasn't there. It's not. Did you know furniture is not designed to have four or five layers on top of it? But it was just. We had to pack it all in there. We were homeless for a while, and so we wound up in a house out on a country road. I'm not going to say where it was because I don't want to give away who this person was, but it belonged to a widow. Her husband had passed, and she was in a state where she couldn't take care of herself, so her children had taken her in, and they were going to let us stay in that house. But the orders were, don't touch anything. We want everything left the way. So we had to use their furniture, their kitchen stuff. Bless my wife's heart. I mean, she had to make a home in a place where she couldn't use her own stuff, and we couldn't sleep in our own beds. We couldn't sit on our own couches. So that's where we're stuck. But this place came accompanied with like a 200-acre farm, which I thought was pretty cool. So I've always liked to walk and hike. So in the morning, I would get out, and I would walk way to the back of the farm. And after a while, I kind of developed a path, and it would take me about half an hour, 45 minutes to walk this. Remind you, I've divorced myself from God. I've told God, leave me alone. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And yet during those walks, God is such a cheater. He's such a cheater. He had this little thread that he didn't tell me about tied around my heart. And so I'm trying to take these walks and walk away from God, and the whole time God's just trudging right along there beside me, just walking out through, dodging the cow patties, you know, making my little rounds. And God started talking to me, and God started wooing me in and saying, what happened there was not me. That was not me. That's people, but that wasn't me. Let me cut the story kind of short. So I went through a period of probably 6 months to a year where I was kind of divorced from God. So I never cracked the pages of Scripture. I never said a formal prayer. I didn't go to church. I didn't do anything. So I stayed away from Christianity. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but this is the way I looked at it for myself. This is my story. So I stopped drinking the Kool-Aid. I just completely stopped drinking the Kool-Aid. I think what they call that these days is called deconstruction. Everything crumbled. Everything was deconstructed. Nothing from my past did I want to even stay as residue on my shoes anymore. It's like, no, I'm done with that. So I completely weaned myself from religion, completely weaned myself from my training, my experience, my teaching, my upbringing, everything. I just shoved that aside. But God wouldn't leave me alone. God just kept pecking at me, kept loving on me, kept, you know, pursuing me. And so that was in 05. This is 2021 now. So that was quite a while ago. And I must say that there are people in this room, I wasn't thinking about sharing this, but there are people in this room who literally have walked almost all this journey with me. I would get all choked up. There sits one of them right back there, Lewis, and there sits another one over there, Joel. They walked with me that whole, they have seen the shitty side of me. They have seen my struggles. And they have never stopped loving me. They've always, but anyway, I didn't mean to go there. Anyway, so in the process of these 15 years, early on, I reconnected with Wayne Hunter, because I'd known him for years, but we'd never been like tight. So I reconnected with Wayne, and we started getting together once a week. We started talking. His journey was not the same as mine, but it was similar. He'd kind of been pushed out. Wait, no, not kind of. He had been pushed out of the church, and he had deconstructed some. So we were in the process of trying to. So if that's not it, what is it? If following Jesus doesn't look like that, what does it look like? So we kind of explored together. And so for the next, I know I'm short on time. For the next at least 2 or 3 weeks, at least tonight, maybe one other time, I would like to share with you some of the discoveries that I've made in my reconstruction. And this week it would just make sense that I would talk about prayer, because I preached on prayer in the virtual service this morning. And it caused me to have to kind of dig into prayer. And actually, the passage that I preached on this morning in the virtual service is just as good a place to start as any, where Jesus talked in Luke. He talked about the little widow lady who had not a dime in her pocket. She had no advocate. She had no husband to be the spearhead for this. She had nothing, nothing. She was out. When I got kicked out of the church, that's the way I felt. I was out. I had nothing, no recourse, nothing. She goes to this judge, and he won't give her what she wants, and she keeps going, going, going. She puts forth all the effort. Finally, he relents because he's scared of her. I guess he was going to hit him with her purse or something. I don't know what. I thought, man, he is not much when it comes to being a judge. But anyway, so then Jesus, in telling the parable, he said he finally relented. And then he said, but God is not like that. God hears the cries of his chosen ones. And he is quick to bring justice. So in the sermon, if you listen to it, it was like comparing, it used to be, it was like comparing vending machines, that God is just a better vending machine than the bad judge. That's the way I used to look at it. And I thought, no, that's not what that parable means at all. What that parable means is that Jesus was setting up the character of a bad judge versus the character of God. And the character of God is so rich and so full and so faithful and so good that that we're not faithful we're going to get what we want from him. We're just faithful that he's going to be who he says he is. We're going to be faith. We're going to be trust that he's steady, and he's already done so much of the grunt work and so much of the dozer work. So we just put our trust in that. So here's, okay, I didn't want to re-preach that sermon, but I kind of just re-preached it in brief. So my view of prayer now, my reconstructed view of prayer now, is that prayer is breathing. Prayer is living. Prayer is eating your Cheerios. Prayer is licks in the face by your favorite dog. Prayer is watching a little child love on another little child when nobody, they don't think anybody's watching. Prayer is listening to the song of a bird in the tree. Prayer is that calm resolve you have when somebody's screaming in your face and you say, but I have a God who is here with me, and he loves me, and his spirit is in me, and everything's okay. Prayer to me has not become, as it used to be, prayer is put forth full effort. Walk all the way across town, beat on the judge's door time and time again. If you have to, get down on your knees, say all the right words, and if it doesn't work, come back the next day and do it again, and then do it again, and do it again, and do it again. If there's anything that's going to happen between you and God, you're going to have to do the bulk of the work. You're going to have to make sure you get everything just right. You're going to have to show great reverence and great humility and great, I don't know what else. It's all on you. If this thing between you and God is going to work, it's all on you. Well, when you divorce yourself from God, when you say F you God and you walk away, you run away from God, and you run till you can't run anymore, and you look over, and there he is. I've put forth full effort to get away from you. And you're right here. Leave me alone. He's like, no, I'm not going to leave you alone. God, if this thing is going to work with God, it's going to be his doing, not mine. If you think about what Jesus said about the mountain and the seed of faith, if you have the faith of a mountain, you might be able to move that seed right there. He said exactly the opposite. All we bring to the table is just something very small and minuscule, very small, very small. And he is the one who does all the dozer work, all the grunt work. He's the one who's the active member of this relationship. So prayer is not my job anymore. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I need to pray more. No, you don't. No, you don't. I need to carve out more time. I need to be more serious in my prayer life. I need to read more books on prayer. I need to study more on prayer. No, you don't. No, you don't. What we need to do is open our eyes and be aware of God, who is active all the time, everywhere, in everybody, all the time. Those moments of aha, those moments of revelation, if that's not prayer, I don't know what it is. It's God saying to us, look at what I'm doing. Look, would you like to be part of it? That's a conversation that he invites us into. So every time, you know, we talk all the time about love the person in front of you. What is that? That's simply prayer. That's all that is. It's a three-way conversation between me, that person, and God. And that's one time when triangulation is okay. Triangulation is okay when you do it, when it happens that way. But see, you see what I'm saying? And so I don't hardly ever have a formal conversation with God anymore. I just try to watch and listen and be aware of him all the time. And then I respond to what he's saying, what he's doing, and, you know, what I see going on. I just respond to it. And I let him be who he's God. Eden was not our idea. He was God's. We did not create a garden so that God could come and be with us. God created a garden so he could come and be with us. It was his idea. Abraham didn't call God out of Ur and say, here, make me one of your chosen. When God showed up, he took the initiative. Look at the big story. It's from stem to stern. God always does the heavy lifting and the dozer work. And so if that's the way, if the big story is that way, isn't that the way my story is? Isn't that the way it should be? Is that I simply respond to God's initiative. And I show this faith and this trust in Him. There are times when you're desperate. There are times when you're hurting. There are times when you are in pain. There are times when, and those are times when you say, well, I'll initiate this conversation. Well, you may, but it's a nanosecond of initiation because He's there. He's right there. I'm hurting. I'm worried. I'm terrified. I'm angry. I'm, you know, whatever. He's right there. We don't have to cry out for Him. We don't have to go across town. He's just right there. But the other part of it, too, is I don't know where this one ends and next week's begins. But one of the most common prayers that I hear, and I better close with this because I know we're getting short on time because we're going to have a kind of an end game tonight. One of the biggest prayers that I hear people saying is, I pray to God all the time. I want to know God's will for my life. That's the big prayer. What's God's will for my life? As if He's got some specific blueprint, and if you vary from the right or the left, oh, you ruin the whole thing. You're shot. You frunk, you know. I had a Taiwanese professor in seminary, and that's what he said, you frunk. Instead of you flunk, he said, you frunk. Sorry, that just slipped out. Joseph Wong. My name is Joseph Wong. He would, oh boy, I'm taking a rabbit trail. Sorry, Ron. We'd get in class, and he'd say, he'd just come in, just everything was, his hair was greased down, just perfect. He'd stand up there and he'd say, Wendell Van Venom, pray priest. And the first time he ever did, I was like, what did he say, and what am I supposed to do? And somebody next to me said, he wants you to pray. Okay. But we'd always open with prayer, and he'd call somebody's name. Pray priest. Not please, but priest. Anyway, never mind. Bad rabbit trail. Where was I going with this? I don't know. But we're talking about God's will. I don't think that it's as easy as we think to get out of God's will. Because I think mostly God wants to just live life with us. He wants to do life with us in a partnership. So if you know God loves you, do you know that? I hope you know that. If you know God loves you and you're living in that love, and if you love God back, you're returning that love. In the light of that, if you're all about yourself, this won't work. Sorry, it won't work. But if you're letting God love you and you're loving Him back, I'm just going to ask you the question, what do you want to do tomorrow morning when you get up? What do you want to do? That's God's will. That's God. If you have this love relationship with Him, follow your heart. What do you want to do? If you have that love, it's not going to lead you to selfish things. It's not going to lead you to hurtful things. It's going to lead you to healthy things. What if I don't get it just right? You know, what if I don't cross every T and dot every I? You frunk? I don't think so. I think God is, man, that was a great try. That was super. You know, let's try that again. Let's get up and try that again. So this prayer of what is God's will for my life, I have so many younger people coming. I just want to know what God wants me to do. I want God's will for my life, whatever. And immediately my response is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know, follow the heart that God has created in you. Follow the inklings and the desires. Well, I care about poor people, or I care about minorities, or I care about social justice, this, that, or whatever it might be. You know, I care about these people. Who put that in your heart? Where did that come from? You know, pursue that. That's God's will for you. And just do the next right thing. You don't have to start some big organization. You don't have to set the world on fire. Just do the next right thing. And that's kind of the answer to the prayers. Because when I deconstructed everything and then started reconstructing, I said, well, what now, God? You know, what? I don't know any church that would want me at this point. What do I do? And the answer came back, do the next right thing. And then He fleshed that out, and that became love the person in front of you. And so I just started doing that, kind of thinking it was my, in hockey, they have that penalty box, you know. That was what I was supposed to do while I was in the penalty box. And then one day maybe God would let me back in the game. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, this is the game. I'm not in the penalty box. This is it. This is the grand prize. This is my pursuit in life. And now it's all I want to do. But if you want to know God's will, just do the next right thing and say, let's do this together, God. So anyway, let's talk to God for a minute. God, wow, you are relentless. We joke about rabbit trails. You're like a beagle on a rabbit. You just keep right at us. And every time I look up, there you are. But I did something really bad, or I had a bad attitude, or I said something hurtful. I look up, you're still there. You're so faithful. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I don't know what to say. I'm just so grateful. But if I have a request of you tonight, God, it's that everybody here in this room could get this. That prayer is God's thing, not mine. And we just want to be aware of what you're doing. We want to watch for it and respond to it. So we'll talk to you later. All right. Two things tonight. One is we have found out, which I don't know why we didn't really realize, but we have found out that you can join Broadway at Pathway. You can become a member of the church at Pathway. Pretty cool, huh? We've joined the big ranks. I think it's pretty cool anyway. So Rob is going to join the church tonight. And if you know somebody else who, wants to through Pathway, we've got an open door. Didn't realize we did, but we got an open door. So he already kind of knows. I've showed this to him. But these came from Pastor Adam. There's certain questions that we ask. And he answers, and he's got the easy part. He just has to say, I do, I do, I will, I will. Got that? I do.
The last time I said I do, it sucked. Okay, go ahead.
We got it. Okay. So, first of all, let me tell you, this is a brother of mine. I love this man right here. We spent hours together playing disc golf and talking and just shooting the breeze. And so this, Rob, this is really cool for me. Really cool. All right, so. It says pastor, that would be me, I guess. So do you confess Jesus Christ as Savior, trust in his grace alone for salvation, and commit to follow him as the primary commitment of your life?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Cool. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to this local church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
He's getting them all right. And will you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, humbly serving as a living reminder of Christ in the hope that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven?
I will.
Give me a hug, dude.